when you're in a room with other people that are listening to what you're doing, that has some kind of bizarre metaphysical impact on what you do, what you have to say, especially if you're an improviser.
I probably never follow the notes as they're written, so it's better not to have them written down to start with.
Other musicians would ask me, you know, when they'd see me play something, would be like, you know, where'd you get that? And I'd say, well, I built it. And so I started building things for other people.
The intersection of improvisation, composition, and collaboration has its own kind of synergy.
I think new ways of creating and perceiving come from exploration and experimentation.
Immediately went home and had visions of instruments that I had to build.
The world of experimental sound arts is a place of sonic sensibilities where instrument builders, alternative tuning systems, and unorthodox musical expressions present a plethora of the innovative and unusual. Six Minnesota experimental sound artists share their explorations and their creations.
My name is Paul Metzger. I perform improvisations on modified string instruments, guitar and banjo mostly, and that's my main creative focus right now. Well, I grew up in St. Paul, Minnesota, and started playing in the mid-1970s and being interested in music that I heard. I remember actually listening. Some of the first Indian classical music that I heard was played on KFAI when they were in the church. I would go to the library, get vinyl records, do some looking around. How is a sitar constructed, you know? And then find things around, you know, just in my life that I could add to an instrument rather than, oh, I can just buy a sirbahar. And it was much more of a, you know, sort of home-cooked vibe back then. And I just would, you know, make changes to instruments that I already had and see if I could incorporate some of the sounds that I was hearing on records and see if I could approximate those and get some of the feeling that was in those and make that come out of an instrument that I had at my disposal, you know, so... The modifications I've made to instruments are really all kind of all over the map. I feel that I feel like a license to just do whatever I like to an instrument. The instruments that I have are usually inexpensive pawn shop grade things. And so let's say on the guitar that I'm currently playing, I removed the fretboard and replaced it with a piece of metal. So it now has a metal fingerboard without frets, a bit like a Sarode. I've also drilled and attached modified music box mechanisms that have been filed and monkeyed with to the actual body of the guitar, so I can wind those up and play those, and then that's like a sort of an obtuse accompaniment, you know. They're very sparse, just a few notes come out, and then I use that. I have a large ride cymbal attached to the tail end of it, and an extra bridge with some extra strings that come up along the top end of it. And so that's kind of where that instrument, that guitar, that's where it is right now. And it starts out very naturally. So let's say at first I want to try something fretless, so I just pulled the frets out, which is not a big deal. And then would sand that down, and then I felt like I wanted to get something a little more sharp, you know, instead of going against a piece of wood, I wanted against something, you know, like metal. You know, so it's over years and years that I've been monkeying with the instruments a little bit and to try to see where they can go as a vehicle for me to do improvisations. So the modifications are sort of a means to an end, you know, give new opportunities for the improviser, new unexpected sounds, and then to assimilate these new opportunities and to develop techniques. When you're in a room with other people that are listening to what you're doing, that has some kind of bizarre metaphysical impact on what you do, what you have to say, especially if you're an improviser.
My name is Mary Garvey, and I make noise more than anything. One of my early vocal teachers gave me that as an instruction, is to make noise, always. So I probably have been singing for as long as I can remember. The first vocal instruction that I had was in the late 80s or early 90s, someplace around there. I began taking voice lessons with Mary Bowman at the West Bank School of Music. Then I joined a student blues ensemble there, and that's where I think I really began to learn what it meant to collaborate with others. It was a really great experience, and they gave us a lot of opportunities to play out in front of audiences, and I found I really enjoyed it. I like to improvise. I probably never follow the notes as they're written, so it's better not to have them written down to start with. I did a piece with Maureen Kelsch. She just handed me a poem she had written. I just sang it. There wasn't a score for it. There wasn't a melody or anything that was designed for it. And I like doing that kind of singing. That's where I feel the most able to be creative, I think, is in that kind of project. You listen to what's happening in the space and try to add to what's going on rather than stepping on top of it. Instrumentation usually presents itself in the room. Art asks questions that a lot of us don't think about unless we see it in that format. It's a different form of language. It's a different form of communication. And some things we're not willing to talk about in words. I have played things like amplified grates and drums and tabletops, singing bowls, and I can't imagine not doing those things, I guess. It's just, I think everybody is put here to be creative, and it may not be the way that we earn our living. Everything else that we do, creativity is really important.
My name is Tim Kaiser, and I perform electronic experimental music on instruments of my own design. I have a kind of a long, circuitous route to get to where I am today. I discovered punk rock in the late 70s and was in a punk rock band with some high school friends. And when you play punk rock, you're always broke, and your equipment is generally pretty crappy, and you can't run out and just buy new stuff, so you have to fix it. So I just started fixing things, and the fixing things led to eventually building things. I have two basic kinds of instruments. Some instruments that start with a kind of a traditional premise. They have a string that can be tuned, or a percussive feature, you know, that kind of thing. So those are kind of what I call acousto-electric devices. One of the ones that's been kind of popular lately are these electrified kalimbas or thumb pianos. I make a lot of those. I have another one called an anti-guitar, which is a little wooden box with three strings and no fretboard, and hence anti-guitar. You can't, you know, show off your Van Halen left hand action. I play that with a bow often. And then the other type of instrument is generally electronic in nature, either tone generating, or I've discovered some years ago I discovered EEPROMs, which is an erasable programmable memory chip. And I record little loops of things that I generate both electronically and acoustically in my studio, and they can be stored on a chip. And then once they're on a chip, I can do kind of a circuit bending thing and manipulate the electronics that operate the chip so I can change the pitch or, you know, those kinds of things. the interface for EEPROM, it can be whatever you design. Mine generally have buttons, knobs, and switches. I like lots of buttons, knobs, and switches. An overall label for what I do is kind of atmospheric music. And I kind of achieve my sounds in two ways. One is I think of a sound, and then I work through a way to try to create that sound, what kind of mechanics or electronics it will take to achieve that sound. And the other is just tinkering, just experimenting with different circuits or different, basically, principles of physics and discovering new sounds. So I do it both ways. You know, I've always started out building for myself, building things that I wanted to play, to achieve sounds that I was looking for. And other musicians would ask me, you know, when they'd see me play something, would be like, you know, where'd you get that? And I'd say, well, I built it. And so I started building things for other people. And I was selling some things on eBay, you know, just to, you know, make ends meet. And I got an email back from a guy who had bought some things through eBay. And he emailed me back like a day or so later and said, I generally am trying to protect the privacy of my clients, so I haven't told you who's actually buying your stuff. I'm buying it for them. But it's Nick Rhodes from Duran Duran. They said they'd throw enough projects my way for a year where I wouldn't miss my paycheck. I took them up on it, and they made good. That's when I decided, you know, that I was going to do this full time. That's how I kind of got into building things seriously for other people. I don't sell on eBay anymore. I only do commissions. I do use kind of a music concrete technique on occasion, where I often have a backtrack that I play under all my work. And it's usually, when I put together a show, it's thematic. So sometimes it's naturalistic sounds. Or the current project, Number Station, that assembled kind of backtrack or soundtrack that my music was on top of, is recordings off of my shortwave of the old Cold War Number Station codes. Governments would send info to their spies by just having these broadcasts of number reading. And it's just interesting to me. I think everybody probably has something to say, and most people just don't always have the opportunity to say it, or they struggle to find the means or the medium to say whatever it is that moves them. And it's not always about, you know, big philosophical concepts or anything like that. I think that if you've got something that's driving you, that is making you want to create, and in my case, it's sound. I'm not chained to rhythm or melody. You know, I like just the concept of sound.
Well, I'm David Means. I'm a composer and sound designer and improvising musician. I became interested in graphic music scores at the University of Illinois, dating back to my first encounter with experimental music there while I was still an architecture student in 1967, when John Cage, the American composer, was on campus for a couple years at the Center for Advanced Studies. And I was a participant in his first music circus down there. Became very interested in the connection between experimental music, the visual arts, and different kinds of architectural events and art installations in site-specific spaces. My doctoral thesis involved creating a number of two- and three-dimensional graphic scores and sculptural installations for specific spaces. More recently, I've been interested in live electronics, improvisation, and collaboration. But in the mid-80s, I got interested in the music instrument digital interface protocols that linked up electronic instruments with computers in the early notation and sequencing software, and then sampling. And I began to work improvisationally with a MIDI wind controller, developing scores that would focus on certain types of sound objects, generalized notation for things like drones, overtone harmonics, regular and irregular patterns, things that would direct a kind of improvisational flow. in the late 90s, I had a chance to study with some of the musicians and artists in Holland. I was reintroduced with my 1959 Gretsch Firebird guitar that my father had bought for me. It had gathered dust for over 30 years, and I began to rethink guitar performance. Chaotic, free improvisation on the one hand, and very specific types of microtonal overtones coming out of drones that would be the result of using the infrared EBO handheld and gravity-generated devices that could be placed on the guitar, taking the sounds from the electronic pickups on the guitar and having the vibrations excite long lengths of flexible sculptural wire that would then create sympathetic rhythms and vibrations that could all be used either to affect the tempo at slow rates or speed it up into overtones and microtones through live signal processing. Essentially, my interest in microtones has to do with the effects of live signal processing, targeting or gating different types of upper partials that enter into the microtonal range that are triggered by use of these infrared signals and other situations that result out of a performance installation at a specific site. Well, I've been very interested in how the interactions between visual arts and music can give a kind of an expanded meaning to a gallery experience. So I've worked with visual artists and writers as well as dancers in terms of movement and film video. My musical ideas primarily come from my interactions with architectural and environmental spaces. I'm interested in how the intersection of improvisation, composition, and collaboration becomes a kind of negotiated, almost living, breathing entity of sorts that has its own kind of synergy. Recently, I've been using a combination of different touch pads, triggering samples in real time.
My name is Dixie Treichel. I have a background in traditional and experimental music. I'm a composer, sound designer, and sound artist, and I make experimental musical instruments from found objects. I've been exploring sound since I was a child. I would make instruments out of things in the kitchen, hit different pots and pans, glass jars, and make instruments out of things I found in my dad's work area. I have always been interested in the different qualities of elements, such as wood, metal, glass, or stone, and how they can be combined and altered to create different timbres or tuning systems. Before I could read music, I would create my own notation and developed a strong interest in how different visual elements could be interpreted to create sound palettes. Although I played traditional instruments growing up, such as trumpet, guitar, piano, and bassoon, I always kept exploring and playing with altering instruments, creating new sounds, different ways of putting things together. I think a big part of my development was listening to music from other cultures and paying attention to what was around me. I've collaborated with artists in many different disciplines, and as a sound artist, I create multifaceted pieces that incorporate microtonal tuning, electronics, and graphic scores, or no notation at all. I founded the Unique Sounds Ensemble in Minneapolis in 2000, and that is a fluid group of sonic explorers and experimental instrument makers. and we play together at various times in different combinations. The instruments I create, I really don't perform with in a solo way. I do use them as sound sources in some of my electronic pieces. My percussion instruments are created in a series of pitches that form a microtonal scale, but are in no specific tuning system. They sound familiar and yet not quite right, so to say. The main percussion instruments I use now are the canophone, the glass rimba, and the 2x2 xylo. The canophone is made from a series of cans that I chose for different pitches and timbres. The cans are mounted on a polystyrene strip and are played with different kinds of beaters. The glass rimba is a series of cut glass strips that are about 1¾ inches wide and vary in length to create different pitches. These are mounted on aluminum cans for resonators and are placed on a foam strip. And the 2x2 xylo is made from scrap wood that I found in a basement when I lived in San Francisco. It is a series of 2-inch by 2-inch square sticks of redwood that I sanded and cut into various lengths to create a microtonal scale. I also create non-percussion instruments that are amplified, such as my wind horn, that is a plastic tube with a plastic funnel on the end and can create very high vocal sounds, or I put a small flute in the end to get extremely high frequencies. I also play found sounds such as clicking stones together, ripping or crumpling paper, or attaching contact microphones to various objects. I think because of my love of sound and my explorations throughout the years, I've developed an expanded aesthetic for all different kinds of sounds. I think new ways of creating and perceiving come from exploration and experimentation. And that is something I encourage everyone to do.
I'm Chris Peck, and I play microtonal guitars. I've played guitar for a long time, very casually. One evening, as a fluke, I happened to go to a concert of Harry Partch's music being performed by a new band at the Walker Art Center. And I didn't know anything about it. When I went to it, just stumbled onto it and was completely blown away by what I saw and heard. Partch built all his own instruments, and it's all based on microtonal scales that have no relation to the scales that we normally use on our guitars and pianos. After I heard this Partch music, I immediately went home and had visions of instruments that I had to build. Not to copy what Partch was doing necessarily, but it really opened my eyes or ears as to the possibilities of other systems of notes, and also just to the uniqueness of different kinds of instruments that can be built. Well, initially it was just a drive. I had no option. I have to build this, and somehow I'll figure out how to do it. I never took a class or training or anything, really just dove in, and I researched a bit, read some websites and some articles and things, but really mostly just dove in and figured out how to do it. Figured out where to order parts from and got a few specialized tools, but for the most part just used straightforward tools and things. Really just pragmatically came out with the result. The first guitar that I built, I completely designed and built that one from scratch, and it's an electric, and the scale is based on just intonation, which is based on the pure ratios, the intervals that don't have beating between them. There's 20 notes in the first octave. You get these nice, clean chords out of it that sound really smooth. You can play scales in it that are unusual sounding, but clean and smooth. I had a Squire Stratocaster guitar that I decided would be good for 22 notes per octave. This one is tuned equally. That was one that I had heard about and read about. There's kind of a community of microtonalists on the internet that discuss a lot of these different scales and the pros and cons of different things and just experimenting. 22 was one of the more interesting ones that I had heard about. And this guitar, none of the intervals are completely pure, just intonation, but it has fifths and thirds, you know, familiar kinds of intervals that you can play pretty familiar sounding music with, but then you can go off on weird tangents and play a lot of in-between notes, small intervals that sound like quarter tones, so it's a real fun system to play with. I decided that I really needed to get back into playing around with acoustic guitars, and I bought a guitar, again, to modify it by refretting it. And this one I changed to 17 notes per octave. And this is another fun system that has real nice, clean-sounding fifths in it, but some of the other intervals are kind of strange. So again, you can do some things that sound fairly familiar to most people if you're not paying too close attention, but then you can really throw in some curveballs with it. The kinds of sounds that I've been most attracted to, one thing that I just love playing with is digital delay loops. It's particularly fun to play with loops when you've got really different scales, and you can create these atmospheres have a hint of familiarity to them, but a lot of alienness too. Some of the most fun performances have been these Strange Attractor series, where we've had these small groups of experimental instrument builders, and we've created these mostly improvisational pieces with real interesting set of textures, varying between real moody ambient sounds and just a variety of interesting layers of improvisations.
This is Dixie Treichel for KFAI. Miniculture on KFAI is made possible by listeners like you and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.